come on. Do the hoppy hop, come on and do the hoppy hop. Check out, y'all, do the hoppy hop. Just watch me do the hoppy hop. Yeah, do you know what I'm doing? Doing my hoppy hop.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
And welcome back to another 2 hours of Reese on the Radio. I had a very, very rough evening tonight. Many of you may be familiar with Poverty Supreme, who often comes on Reese on the Radio. He comes on the show all the time, and I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I was on his show earlier today, and oh, man, did I get baked. I got raked over the coals on his show today. It's Reese on the Radio Live here 2 minutes after the hour on December the 19th, 2012, 6 days before Christmas. And Merry Christmas to all of you out there who celebrate the holiday. And this week coming to an end, I hope you guys have a long and glorious weekend with your family and your loved ones and exchanging presents and doing that whole thing. But anyway, back to my point. So I go on the show and he's got some black people on his show, and they follow that, you know, black theology thinking. That's who it is that they are, and that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. I did think earlier that I had a problem with the way that they were unjustly ridiculing me, but then I thought about it for a little while. You know, they're like, sometimes, you know, your feelings can be hurt because everybody's jumping on you. They're like, get off the air, get off, you know, go home, get out of here. Yeah, we don't want it. I know why you don't want me there. Because I don't agree with you. And this is the language of liberals. Now, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, folks. I don't want to beat a dead horse. This is the language of liberals. The language of liberals are shut up. Shut the F up. We don't want to hear you. We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to hear your rhetoric. We want to believe what we want to believe, and we don't want to get engaged in a conversation with you about any opposition. We want to be in a place where we all believe the same thing, and we agree. And when we disagree, it's about lighthearted stuff. Well, I don't agree with you in that level, but I understand where it is you're coming. That's the conversation those people want to have. Now, Poverty Supreme, I know, is embarrassed by his audience today. He won't tell you that. He'll never tell you that. Now, he promises he's going to call on the show today, and I hope he does. And he'll apologize. He'll be apologetic and whatever. I don't care about that. Don't apologize. If you're going to call here and apologize, about the behavior of your audience, please don't bother. See, what it is that I do is that I stir the pot. And not just to be an antagonist. I stir the pot because I want intelligent conversation. If you don't want it, you're not going to come here. And there are plenty of people who don't. There are plenty of people who listen to the show in the archive mode. They want to hear what it is that I have to say, but they're too shy, for lack of the term that I really want to use, pussy. They're too shy to come on the air and deal with me head on in a format that I control. Oh, he's just going to cut off my mic. That's what Poverty Prince was. Poverty Supreme, I call him Poverty Prince, I apologize. Poverty Supreme is always complaining about that I always cut his mic off. I cut his mic off, I don't let him talk. Well, when he starts getting ridiculous and it has no merit based on the conversation, then I slow him down and then I bring him back on and then I allow him to converse. But he still calls and I give him credit for that because he deals with his biggest argument today was, folks, this is going to make you laugh. And although guys like Sally D call on the show often and is a contributor here to Reese on the Radio, he never uses the word nigger on the show. White Mike, on my show, White Mike, he gets the card. Michael can come on this show and call me a nigger if you like. Nigger, please. He can say it all day. Dennis the Mass Menace calls up here all the time and uses the word nigger whenever he likes. Because we don't stop anybody from using the word. Edward in Connecticut calls up here. A black man from Connecticut uses the word because we have no fear of it. We have no fear of using the word, and we're not so worried about the connotation when it's used. Now, there are other people out there who are just fearful of the words. You know who they are. But Poverty Supreme on his show today, the only thing they wanted to talk about was where you're from. Are you an African? Africa, America, horrible place. America, home of the devil. And that's what it is that they do, and that's what it is that they say. And I go in there, and I put myself in the middle of that foray, if you will, because I have no fear. But you can beat me up, and you can badger me. Hey, come on. You know, I'm built of what Optimus Prime said in the 1986 cartoon film of Transformers. I'm built of sterner stuff, man. I'm built of sterner stuff. So when people run, and they run to the places where their platforms can be, or their agenda for that matter, can be pumped up and pushed up and supported, that's the reason why you don't come to places like Reese on the Radio. We know we are a great show. We've always have been. That's been the template of what it is that we do. We talk about everything from pop culture to politics. I am the culture critic at large. And no matter what the subject matter is, I'm going to give my opinion. And when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But have I been wrong? Absolutely not. Right now, my accuracy rating is a little over 91%. Has been for quite some time now. And why is that the case? Because I deal with Realville. I deal with reality. I deal with facts, not fiction. And you have these people out there who spew this rhetoric. You know, this oppressive rhetoric. We're oppressed. They're oppressed. Nobody likes us. People hate us. We're never going to make it. The victimhood crowd. Truth be told, going on Poverty Supreme show today, that's what it is that I learned. Not that I didn't know it before, but it's what I learned about his show today. Is that his listeners are the victim crowd. They talk a good game, because victims do a very amazing thing today, especially black victims. Black victimhood is almost contradictory in terms. I want you to hear me out when I say this. On one level, what they're screaming is, they won't let us do it! They won't let us have it! They won't let us get it! And then, in the same breath, they say this. But we're strong, we're proud, we're gifted. Nigga, please. If they're stopping you, if they've got you by the throat, if they got their foots on your neck, it doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how strong you claim to be. The bottom line is that you're helpless. You're a victim. And you're never going to make it. So please stop trying to convince me of your power. You remind me of the kids in junior high school who talked about getting laid every day.
I get pussy all day. Yeah, I got plenty of girls.
You would get nothing. Who are you trying to convince, me or them? Or yourself? Truth is, you're victims. You're always going to be victims, and that's where you're comfortable. And that's where this society has driven itself. It's driven itself to victimhood. Now, does that scare you? Does that upset you? It should. It should upset you. It should probably make you angry. But there's one thing that I know about you victims. You're going to die miserably. You're going to die sadly with nothing, because you fought for nothing and you won't fight for anything. You'll spend your days complaining, blaming everybody else for your failings, saying that you had no control and no power. If that's okay with you, go ahead and complain. Go ahead and live your lives. Live your lives as the failures that you've already predetermined for yourselves. By the way, just because we keep it that real here on the show, Poverty Supreme just called in a second ago. He hung up. I don't know whether or not he thought something I said was offensive or offended him. Whatever. I don't. Like, I care. I love the brother, but I don't care if he was offended. I told him call in on the show today because I was going to give him free reign to say what it is that he had to say. But this is the definition of their cowardice, because they feel comfortable in their victimhood. There's no strength in the black man today. There's no strength in the minority. Well, they think because they vote for something that they have power. But listen to them talk, folks. I mean, really listen to them talk. Listen to the words that come out of their mouth. When they get what they want, they're happy, they're proud, they're excited. But listen to the words that come out of their mouth when they're talking about themselves and their communities. There's no power there. There's no strength. All they talk about is how people are oppressing them. And they find these small victories. and make those things bigger than what they are. And that's the Poverty Supreme crowd. It's the crowd of plenty of our minorities in this country. I want to make sure that I make it abundantly clear to each and every one of you. Pay very close attention to these people. Don't cut off the channel to them. You must know the enemy of the state. I can't believe I just used that term. Use them. Use them to educate yourself, to empower yourself. Listen to how they speak. Forget about being angry and annoyed by them. There's no reason for you to be annoyed or angered by what it is that they say. Study them. Learn who it is that they are. And you'll find several things out about yourself. Not just about how you think differently, but about your strengths and your abilities and your will. What makes you better than them? Oh, because folks, you are better. Don't let people tell you that stupid line. You ain't better than nobody. Yes, you are. You're better than these people. You're better than the Poverty Supreme crowd. You're better than the Don Nicolione crowd. You're better than them. The belief in your exceptionalism, the belief in your strength, the belief in your power, the belief in your ability, you're better than them. When the opposition to your life outweighs your own personal belief in yourself, you're a failure. Understand that. I want you to understand that. I will never, and nor should you, ever fall for the bull that is being pulled by these leftists, by these pathetic individuals who find it comforting to be victims. I won't tolerate them. And I will challenge them, and I will push back, and I'll let them spew. I'll even so much as raise my hands and go, okay, man, you got it, man, you win. You win. So they can get that small victory. Because that's the way they live their lives, with these small, insignificant victories. But there's no way that you can ever have a big victory in life. A big victory in life. If you always portray yourself as a victim. See, they'll tell you something stupid like, when you're a victim and you get the small victory, that makes the victory so much more grandiose. And that's a lie, folks. It's a big lie. Because if you take that victory and then retreat back to victimhood, you see? You retreat back to victimhood. You learn one thing, is that you're the kind of guy who throws stones and hides his hand. That's punk bitch maneuver. And you know it's true. I've seen it every day. And I see it in the Poverty Supreme crowd. I've seen it on the Don Nicolione crowd. I see it in J. King in the Morning crowd. And I've seen it throw Obama supporters. Now people are using victimhood to gain victory. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. They're using their victimhood to gain victory. There's no such thing. All conquerors, all winners must eliminate the opposition. They must attack the opposition, not retreat and claim victimhood in order to gain victory. And that's what we're seeing today. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll take some phone calls. The number is 347-308-8701 if you don't know, if you haven't heard. The number is 347-308-8701. We'll take a phone call when we get back right here on Reason Radio, and we'll talk about this. Let's talk to Rob from Chicago when we get back. That's a hotbed of gun violence and victimhood. Stick around. It's Reason Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
Yeah.
fool. We're live right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is 27 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com on this December the 19th, 2012. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I know Hanukkah is over, but Merry, you know, Happy Hanukkah to all of you who celebrated. Of course, I didn't celebrate this year. It's one of the very few years that I have not celebrated Hanukkah. But whatever, nonetheless. Let's get back to the program. It's Reese on the Radio. Plenty of people on the lines right now, and I'm glad for two people to be here right now who are on
the line.
And that's
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. But I want to say thank you to Rob in Chicago for sticking around. Of course, our good friend White Mike is on the line right now, and he'll be engaging in a tete-a-tete with Poverty Supreme, who is, of course, sitting on the line, and our good friend and contributor, Sally D, as well as White Mike. There's contributors to the show, who have been literally they've stepped up my game and given me they give me a lot of fodder. These guys have made me who I am in ways that you'll never know. And I always credit these guys with making Reese on the Radio the product that it is. They make us. Don't let anybody dispute that. Reese is Reese, and I'm a great guy and everything. But White Mike, Sally D, Dennis the Mass Minute, and of course, Edwin in Connecticut. These guys make me who it is that I am because they're contributors, they believe in the show, and they come in and they contribute as often as they do, and I love it when they do. So I want to thank them and make sure that that is clear. In essence, my Christmas gift to them to let them know that they are loved and appreciated. But let's get to the phones because it is important. As I said in the opening monologue, that we live in a society of people who are victims. They're happy with it, and they find their victories in victimhood. Now, some people may disagree with that, but the fact is that it's true. You have to pay attention to what it is that they do. The presidential election, November 6, 2012, was about victimhood. Who is a victim? How I can be a victim and win? Can I use my victimhood to gain success? And this is ardently different than who it is that we are as a people who go out there and win and conquer. I don't want an award. I mean, could you imagine our lives being based on winning victories by losing? Well, you put in a good effort. Here's an award. I mean, could you imagine if every facet of our life was like that? Can you imagine winning $1,000 just because you bought a lottery ticket? Hey, you didn't win the $250 million, but we're going to hand you $1,000 for just participating. No, nigga, it is winners and losers. and learn how to lose. We cannot have a society that turns losers into champions of anything. You lose, you lose. Let's go to our first caller, Rob in Chicago. The number is 347-308-8701. Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Pretty good, sir.
Good, good. Hello, everybody.
Have I lost my mind here? Do you agree? You disagree? Where's your position on this?
I think you jumped off the bridge with cement boots on.
Well, explain, please.
I don't think you're not telling the full story, you know, and then you put a special kind of blinders on to go ahead and, you know, so you don't see the truth. It's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious circle. And it starts out very young. I'm in Illinois, okay, and I know for a fact that the school system is underfunding black kids, minority kids.
Sure they are. Of course they are.
So when you wait a minute, let me say this. So when you don't have that education, you can't compete with other kids and go ahead and get that next job because it's highly technical. So there's a whole bunch of other issues you got to deal with. So you left to go ahead and deal with your own resources. The thing that
Rob, before you go any further,
yeah,
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you about what it is that they do to poor black kids. In the inner city, schools. You're never going to get a dispute from me about that. I agree with you 100%.
So if you agree with me, I didn't understand why you said that thing about victimhood. So let me go ahead and finish my
point. Wait.
Victimhood, where's the difference in victimhood and going ahead and letting people know about the problem? And when people, I see that when black people letting you know what's out here, you're a victim. Okay, and you complain or you're angry. You know, so, you know, I got a different approach to it, but, you know, we're working that out. But there's no such thing as victimhood with us, man. I think you made that up, and you're following the wrong crowd with that, man. You shouldn't keep pushing that. That's a bad, dangerous message.
Really? Since you brought up, and I'm going to bring the rest of the guys in here in a second, but let me address what it is that you just said, okay, about victimhood being a bad thing. Okay? In other words, you know, everyone's saying that, look, they're victims in the whole nine yards, and look at the school system in Illinois. Okay, try this on for size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try this on for size. So this country has spent trillions of dollars, right? At least $1.5 trillion on poverty since the 1970s.
It's a game.
Hold on. That money goes to the teachers' union. That's a fact. Don't argue with it. You can argue with me if you want, but it's a fact. It goes to the teachers' union. The teachers' union, who has been publicly recognized for saying that it has nothing to do with the kids, that they get their money and their pension, that they lobby Washington to get their benefits, their health care, their pension after they leave the business of teaching children, to make sure that they're taken care of. And children in the inner city have suffered over and over again. But what have they done it under the guise of poor grades? But when people start asking these teachers, we want a litmus test. We want to scrutinize you and your children on how it is that they pass classes or pass tests or whatever. They want standardized testing. They don't want scrutiny they don't want teacher evaluation. That's the term I'm looking for.
They don't want that.
The unions, hold on. Okay. The unions have done everything to protect themselves, and they're not being graded as teachers on the level of kids' success.
Okay.
They want to make sure that after 3 years they get tenure, and then those same teachers tell a student, I don't give a damn whether or not
So listen, I agree with that, okay? Believe it or not, I do. But then here it is, and what I'm hearing from you, your position is also to abolish the Department of Education. So where does that leave poor people in this country who have paid them a low lot of paying into the system. You know, I feel like this. If even with insurance, I'm paying into it, I should get something back. I'm paying in taxes into this country, I should get something back. You know, and that's the part that I'm not. You know, I don't think you're connecting with me on that.
The bottom line about you paying taxes into a system, I want you to listen to what it is you're talking about.
I shouldn't get nothing back.
Hold on. Of course you're getting nothing back. Because the money that you're paying into taxes, hold on, the money that you're paying into taxes is paying for teachers to protect themselves, not protect the children, to educate.
For some reason, it went over your head. I didn't disagree with that.
Disagree with it. You can't. Wait.
You're trying to turn into an argument, and you're not going to get an argument.
No, I'm trying to turn into an argument. I'm asking you a question. Black people in the community, right? Are black people in the community and minorities alike, all minorities, are they taking their grievances, to the teachers' unions?
And you know what happens when you don't have money? Let me ask you a question. And you know what happens when you don't have money, and you in the black community or your minority here, they go ahead and they tell you, okay, well, you start coming to school and deal with your kid. So that means you got to go ahead and take time away from your job. So if you can't go ahead, you don't have no job, then you might have to rely on the system. So then they tell you, well, hey, look, well, if you can't make it here, we're gonna start to administer your kid drugs anyway. To go ahead and keep him calm because he's disagreeing, whatever. See, it's a vicious cycle. Do not leave out parts of this cycle here, okay?
Rob, can I ask you a question?
You can ask a lot of questions. It depends on what I answer.
Because I'm going to get to the other callers, and I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the NEA, the National Education Association? Do you know who they are?
No, I don't know who they are. I don't have no kids. I ain't had no need to know who they are.
That's all right. It's all right. Talking about education, so I want to bring that up. The National Education Association is the largest teachers union in the country.
But you still keep throwing at me.
Rob, relax for a second. Let me get to my point.
I'm very relaxed.
They collect every year $24 billion in union dues from its members. Do you know that?
Right now,
a question, Rob. You have to go anywhere else. I'm just asking you. Do you know that they collect $24 billion a year from the union?
I ain't know nothing about that.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Do you know that the National Education Association spends its money, its union dues, not to make sure that it takes care of its teachers with pensions or with retirement or any of that? It uses its money to lobby government.
So what does that have to do with them spending on these kids?
I'm glad you asked.
It's not the teachers union. Come on.
Wait.
Okay, you got the school board going ahead and saying something. I mean, what's that got to do with anything?
Rob, I'm going to explain to you. Rob, what does the National Education Association do with its $24 billion every year that it gets? Let me answer. Uses that money to lobby politicians who support their cause to secure teachers' jobs through pensions, through security, job security, through health benefits, each and every one of those things. None of that money that those people, that organization, the National Education Association, none of that money is used to enrich the lives of our children in any way whatsoever. It is used to proliferate the votes and the ideology of the teachers' union. So when you ask yourself why young blacks, young Latinos, young Asians, or any other minority are failing, it's because of organizations like the NEA who have done everything in their power to secure their livelihood and destroy the lives of those who mean nothing, and that is their students.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so I don't know what part you don't understand. I agree with that. But there's also, just like you just threw in there, it's with politicians. And it doesn't matter if you right or left, they all getting paid from this messed up system.
Oh, no. The National Education Association supports.
Okay, so they're not getting paid from the teachers union. Once these kids go ahead, and these undereducated kids can't get jobs, so they go ahead and try. They're gonna try to survive any way they can. So they're gonna do what they can do. So doing what they can do a lot of times makes them wind up in prison. Politicians left and right benefit from these kids going to prison, going through the justice system. That is what I'm trying to get at.
You really no. Okay, that's interesting that you say that, Rob. But you know, I'm gonna bring in White Mike. White Mike.
Hi, man.
Mike, before you say anything,
yeah.
I want you to address the last thing that Rob just said. Rob in Chicago just said that it doesn't matter what group it is, that the white man.
I didn't say that.
Well, okay, then articulate what it is that you said before.
I said the politicians. I didn't say the white man. I didn't say that at all.
Sorry, politician.
Can I get to the heart of the matter because I have statistics?
Go for it.
Okay. Now, Rob said that one of the reasons that black students in Chicago are failing is because not enough money is spent on them. Am I correct in understanding that?
I want to hear your statistics. Yes.
Okay. Per student from ChicagoNow.com, okay? Per student expenditure on a student in Chicago public schools is $21,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they graduate, 16%. No, wait, sorry. High school graduation rate is something like 35%.
Okay, how old are those students, stats?
Okay.
When are those stats? When
2011. 2011.
I don't think.
Oh, yeah,
because
I'm lying
Rob,
to you.
Rob, wait.
Go ahead.
2011. Now, which state spends the least amount of money per student in the union? Can you tell me that?
If you can't dispute them, don't call them falsehoods.
Wait. Because look,
I'm still on my point. Which state spends the least per student?
You asked me a question. Let me answer.
Do you know which state spends the least per student?
You asked me a question. Let me answer. I don't know what state.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
It's Utah. Do you know how much Utah spends per student per year?
I don't have those stats with me right now.
$6,000. Do you care to guess what their high school graduation rate is?
I want you to make sure one thing that when I
no,
have.
Let me get to my point. They graduate 90% of their students.
And the last time, I will admit, the last time I had those stats was 2 years ago because it was a project I was working on. That's when
I'm right up on it. 90% at $6,000 a student.
What your stats are going ahead looking at, what they're showing me, that those are really some old stuff.
They're brand new stats, dude. They're from 2011. Because you don't agree with them, you cannot dispute them.
I will go back.
Guess what? Kentucky spends $9,000 a student per year and graduates 80% of their students.
Okay, so what's your point?
Wait, hold on.
You want to know my point? I will tell you my point. I have no shame on the reason the radio show, buddy. The reason those two states graduate 80 and 90% of their students is because they're majority white states. That's why. Period. That's it. It's across the board, across the country, every state, every city, every district that is majority black, no matter what state they're in, including Maine, black students underperform everybody else, including Latinos.
So let me get to that. So there are no black gun manufacturers in America. Heroin is grown in Afghanistan. Cocaine comes from South America.
I grew up in a house full of guns and never shot anybody. I grew up in the deep south surrounded by firearms, and there was no violence.
You missed the point, okay? For some reason, you missed the point. Like I said, no black gun.
I get your point, man. Your point is that everybody is taking advantage of black people, and you can't help yourself.
And that's where they're getting the opium from. How is that getting to America, to the black neighborhoods?
Whoa. Rob, wait. Guys, hold on for a second. Rob, you bring up a very, very valid point, okay? Let me explain to you why your point is valid. Because you just delved into my opening monologue. Victimhood, my friend. victimhood. You're saying, and if I'm articulating this wrong, I'll give you an opportunity to rebut, but you're saying that the black minority in this country has no resistance to the drug culture in this country as opposed to its white counterpart. Is that what it is that you're saying, sir?
That's not what I said.
Kind of what you're saying, bro. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm asking you.
Is that what you're saying? Well, then how come Whitey can say no to heroin?
Let me ask you. I'm telling you, these are contributing factors to what's going on. That's not the whole soul story.
I didn't dispute the contributing factors, Rob. I didn't in any way whatsoever.
In agreement. So what's your question? What's your point?
Well, my question was that you believe that blacks are more susceptible to the drug culture than their white counterparts. Is that true or not?
I wouldn't say it the way you're saying it. Okay.
Well, of course you wouldn't say it the way I'm saying it.
I'm gonna go ahead. I know. No, Rob.
Listen, it's not a loaded question.
It is.
I'm asking a question to explain your theory. Do you believe that blacks are more susceptible to the culture of drugs than whites?
No.
Okay, so why would it affect them differently?
If you got a farm and you're growing corn, you can go ahead and sell that corn at market. So you can go ahead and get your raw materials to go ahead and get your corn. But if this is the only crop that's in your area is weed and opium, that's what you're going to go ahead and deal with.
What you're saying is even though black students in their city are overfunded and
they're
have access
overfunded.
To...
That's
and
a fact.
Have,
and
I'm dude, I gave
now.
You the facts. Prove
you
me
give
wrong.
Me okay,
prove
you know,
me wrong, Rob.
Okay.
Find
prove
a stat that shows
you
know, me that Chicago does not pay more per student than Utah.
I want you to go ahead and email me that stuff. Email me that information.
Dude,
okay.
Google it. It takes a... It's
I don't
want Google.
To Google it. I want you to email me the information
Chicago.
That you got. You sent
I'm
me the information.
I'm not emailing you. This is your own research, man. Prove me wrong.
I just... Look... How can I
no, prove
you, prove
you me wrong? You cannot prove me wrong, and you're sputtering and spitting because you're pissed off, but you can't prove me wrong. Your whole worldview is a victimhood bullshit.
No. Send me that
Yeah,
information.
your whole worldview is, poor black people, they take advantage of us. We've bent over backwards in America to cater to black people, and black people still fail. Why?
No. What you're telling me that black laws, Jim Crow, civil rights, all this other stuff was for nothing? Or was it for something? Did it mean anything?
Apparently it's a failure, man.
Why did Martin Luther King have to go ahead and rise up and say something? And when everybody, all these black people saying something, you want to go ahead and say we're victims because we're telling you what's going on?
Do you know there were more black entrepreneurs and black business owners under segregation than there are now?
Was a dismal failure. That's why we shouldn't have got with it. Go ahead and try to go. People fought to go ahead and shit in the same fucking white man's toilet, and look at what it got us. It go ahead and tore down our farms, our homes, and everything.
Because black people got lazy and took the handout from the white man. Jesus Christ.
You can't never go and say black people lazy when black people...
You got lazy. Black people got lazy. When Johnson started giving you the handouts, you gave up.
East of the Mississippi. That's a lie.
Do you know that before the Civil Rights Movement, there was more black marriage than there is now?
Exactly. And what is the reason why? If a black man ain't getting no job in the South, came to the
North. No, dude, it's because black women sat back on their asses and took handouts and shit out kids to live in government housing for free. Because the government encouraged that stuff.
That's a lie.
And you guys took...
That's a lie.
Really? Are you going to tell me that there weren't more black marriages pre-1964 than there are now?
Okay, well, the beginning part is true, but the rest of it to support that is not.
Because there aren't generations of people living in the projects, shooting at those little kids and collecting welfare.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to say this because Mike brought a very, very important question, because this is something that I honestly know better than anybody. And Rob, I need you to hear this, okay? Because Mike brings up a very important question, and I want you to answer this. Okay? Before 1964, the marriage rate in the black family was the upwards of 74%. 74. That's not a bullshit statistic, and I don't curse on this show often, but it's not bullcrap. Okay? That's not a bullcrap statistic. But post 1964 to where we are today, the marriage rate amongst African Americans is down to 24%. And we believe, based on the statistics, that handouts, especially the welfare program, which told African American women you had a better chance of getting more money through the welfare system by being unwed, that more women took advantage of that and decided not to marry their prospective baby mom, baby daddy, whatever it may have been. And that is a statistical fact based upon the numbers that we see today. So I want you to address White Mike's question here. Did handouts and welfare and the diminishment, if you will, the diminishment of the black culture through this, you know, New Deal, so to speak, of this civil rights movement of 1964, which said we must help our impoverished, whether or not it impacted the way that our minorities live in this country. So, Rob, I'll put you back on, and I'll put Mike back on right after. Go ahead.
Okay, okay. There are more whites on welfare versus blacks, Hispanics, and
very
Asians
true
together.
Very, but we're not talking about.
Let that be heard. Let me say more
absolutely,
whites on welfare more than any blacks, Hispanics, and Asians put together.
No
okay?
dispute. No
okay?
dispute.
Okay, so the issue that thing about the black mothers. Okay, that you didn't get that right. That wasn't totally true. They didn't go ahead and just say, I want to go ahead and just lay up and have babies. You can go ahead and find some that's like that, but you're saying all, oh, and that's offensive to a lot of black women.
I apologize if I gave the impression that I was broad stroking.
Because you can go ahead, you always hear stories about women, black women, that go ahead and was on welfare and became CEOs and built their own companies. So what you said was really, really, really resentful and hurtful. So here's the thing here. To go ahead and I'm trying to go ahead and to let you know that the reason why things are the way they are is just not just one factor. There are a bunch of factors. What I brought up about the drugs and the other stuff, these are just other contributing factors to what's going on. Racism plays a big part. You cannot tell me that there's white people in America that just totally love black folks. That is not, that's a myth. And people who go ahead and keep on building their empires on hate.
Okay. All right. Well, but deal with the question at hand. What White Mike addressed in this argument here is whether or not the civil rights movement empowered blacks or it set them back in any particular way, considering the numbers in urban communities, as Mike just suggested, in the numbers that in the amount of money that's being given to each individual city where black students reside, right, where black students go to school, and their numbers are minute compared to children in white communities that get fractions on that dollar considerably. That's a good question here.
That's not a good question. That's another loaded question, man. Here,
well,
here.
Of course it's loaded.
Here's the thing. No, it's not totally true. You know, excuse me.
That's all right. You have to take that call? Let's let Mike back in. Mike.
Oh, dude, he threw out that bullshit welfare statistic that everybody throws out to try to cover. Yes, there are more white people on welfare than black people, but white people are well over 50% of the population. The actual numbers on welfare, 38.8% of welfare recipients are white, 39.8% are black, 15.7% are Hispanic. But blacks are 14% of the population. They make up almost 40% of the welfare recipients. Therefore, they're on welfare at a far higher rate than anybody else.
Right. If we're talking about rates per population, blacks are higher than they are whites.
Yeah.
Even though the numbers exponentially are huger when it comes to whites. I mean, we're looking
at
215 million whites versus 40 million blacks.
Yeah, and 40% of those 40 million blacks are on welfare.
Well, how many?
40%. 40% of the welfare recipients are black.
In the 40 million of African Americans in this country, 40% of that number is on welfare.
40% of total welfare recipients are black. And
hello?
That's 14% of the population.
Hello, hello. Go on, guys. We got you, Rob.
Okay, so, you know, 40%, you know, that's a real shaky number. But here's something
it's
else.
Not a real shaky number.
Okay,
again.
Okay. You put it out there. Let me research it. I can't just accept your word for it. I don't do that. Okay, I need to research that. Okay, I'll get back to you on that. But here's another thing here. You know, you want to go ahead and moan and complain about black folks on welfare. Welfare does not.
I'm not moaning and complaining about black folks on welfare. That's victimhood right there.
You're not going to categorize
what I'm saying as victim complaining. I'm putting out facts and statistics.
You to yourself.
I'm not a victim.
Okay, so here's the deal here. You know, welfare doesn't mean just food stamps or the little money to get you or whatever else to get you. That doesn't mean that. There's a whole lot of corporate welfare out here. And I don't see you including none of that corporate welfare in your statistics.
Corporations provide jobs?
Provide jobs when they leave in the country? When they're up and leaving?
Dude,
come on, man.
Somebody is selling the product that they make. They all provide jobs. Should they stay in the country? Yes. Apple sells a shitload of iPads at Walmart, and they employ millions of people.
They employ Chinese.
No, who do you think sells the iPads at Walmart and drives the trucks?
Who do you think making the iPads?
American people.
They're making it in China. They are assembling it
in China. They're selling it here. They provide millions of jobs worldwide selling iPads and iPhones.
But the majority of the operations in China, man.
No, they're manufacturing in China, but their sales are here. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Well,
the fact they make them in China, they sell them here.
I think you're missing his point here. We understand. We know about Foxconn in China. We know that's where they manufacture it. But where are the jobs to sell iPads or iPods or all the Apple computers in this country? They're right here.
You mean
employ a crap load of people right here in this country. Is that a fact or not?
That's not a fact. You got more. Apple has hired more employees in China the last time I saw. I'll get all that. If that's what you want to go ahead and deal with numbers, believe me, I'll come with them. I didn't go ahead and come with them this time, but I'll come with them. Trust me.
That's all right. That's okay. I understand where it is that you're coming from, but the bottom line is that the argument here is about victimhood. Victimhood is a very, very important discussion today for one reason, is that now people are using victimhood for victory. And that's never been the society that we've lived in. If we were to look at, and I'm going to say this, and probably the most
So all the people who bought all these guns when Barack Obama got elected president, they're not going ahead and using a silly issue for victimhood like they some kind of victims?
Oh, no. Oh,
no, that's freaking economics, man.
Mike, let me get this one, please. Let me get this one.
Wow.
It's not victimhood. It was not victimhood that people were buying these guns. That's not the purpose that these people purchased guns. What they did was protect themselves. And they refused to be victims to the powers that be. You're missing the whole deal. You're missing a great deal of what it is that's being expressed here. What's happening with this gun deal that you're missing clearly is that they refuse to be victims. Refuse. That's not a victimhood thing. You can't compare and contrast those two things. Let's go to the top of the hour. Stick around. We got more of this discussion coming, and we'd like to thank Rob from Chicago for being here. We got Poverty Supreme on the line. We're going to get him to him soon. We'll talk some more right back when we return to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
And welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is December the 19th, 2012, just about 6 days before Christmas. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And if I missed you during Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah, L'chaim, whatever. Anyway, we move on. Mary, Mary, while you're bugging, is in the house. But she's going to sit up there and deal with some, she's dealing with some personal stuff right now.
Some work stuff.
Anyway, we'll get that done. Anyway, we're on the phone with Rob in Chicago. And, of course, we got Poverty Supreme on the line, and he's been dying to get in. We got White Mike on the air as well, and we'll talk to each and every one of them. We're talking about victimhood and how victimhood today is being used for victory instead of a society that used to literally go out there and conquer. And because we live in a culture now where now, you know, conquer is a bad word. Conquer is a bad word. So now victimhood gains victory. And it's an important discussion. So we'd like to thank Rob and his opposing view, because he and White Mike are battling tete-a-tete. And I want to make sure I get Poverty Supreme in here.
Yes.
He had some harsh words for me earlier today. And we'll get back to Rob and White Mike in a second. I had your mic on earlier before, but you were graceful enough and nice enough to let the guys spar back and forth.
No, I would have jumped in, but I wasn't sure if my mic was open, because I don't like the way that you dealt with Rob, you know. Because
Poverty,
at the end of the day, let's keep the argument. Let's keep this debate on this we call it again, this entitlement shit.
Victimhood.
Brother, you acting like to say black folk ain't. If someone punches you in the face every day, if I punch you in your face every day, right, and you got a right to complain. If I punch you, if I bully you every day, and you got a right to complain. Huh? If you're being bullied every day, the life is being sucked out of you all the time. You know, look at black countries that are controlled by so-called black folk. Aren't all of them like the whole of Africa look like shit? I mean, they say that Africa, without doubt, has the most resources on this earth, but yet the people in there are living like shit. You know, Africa is still a third world.
But,
you know,
but poverty, poverty, let me, hold on, let me address
and
what it
you,
is.
You want to compare
poverty.
Us with Jews, brother.
Poverty, let me address what it is that you said. You said if somebody comes up to me and they punch me in the face every day, you see, do you have a right to complain? The answer is no. You don't have a right to complain if you do nothing. See, that's where it is that you're missing the argument about victimhood here.
Yeah, but hey, black folks,
let me finish. If somebody punches you in the face every day, then that means that you're allowing them to punch you in the face, and then you play this victim role where you hope that someone will see that you're being punched in the face, and then those people will come to your rescue and on the precipice of you being a victim. Or you decide, I'm not going to get punched in the face anymore. I'm going to fight back and be a victor, not a victim.
Okay.
Now,
so what you advising is you're saying to black folk, right, we should go out there in the at a revolution, we should just be killing white folk. And that's what you're saying.
I didn't say that. No,
for us to overturn this, we're gonna have to start killing these people then.
No. See, you're missing a very valid point. I'm gonna bring White Mike and I'm gonna bring Rob back in a second after I make this point.
Hey, listen, here's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm gonna answer your statement, Poverty. I'm gonna answer your statement. I am not saying that blacks need to go out there and go kill whitey in order to make their point. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that what African Americans are doing in this country is that they've decided that they want everyone in America to see them be figuratively, as you put it, punched in the face so that people will come to their rescue and say, oh, stop doing that. That's not fair. That's not right. Instead, what I'm suggesting is that black people say, and minorities in this country say, it's not possible anymore, and we're going to do more to make sure that we are not victims, as opposed to using victimhood to gain victory.
I hear what you're saying, brother. And I'm saying this, I don't advocate us sitting down. If you listen to any of my shows in entirety, because you never listen to any of my shows in entirety, right? I always say that while we complain about the police, since their inception, they've been killing blacks wholesale. Why do we complain about these things? Why do we complain about immigrants when we're descendants of immigrants? I don't advocate complaining. I'm advocating doing for self. I'm saying that, bro, it's in these, since we've come to Europe, since we've come into Europe and the Western world, black folk, the white man's been doing wickedness to us every day. Black folk in America built up Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was the oil capital of the world. You know, the white man pulled
speaking,
it down.
But see, Poverty, you're speaking in victimhood terms. I'm listening to you.
Of course. But here's what I'm saying. You're trying to compare us with the Jews and all these other races that got their reparations. We never got no reparations, bro. So right is right, wrong is wrong. I'm coming at you from a moral standpoint. Yeah? I could easily bully you, Reese. You're a 47-year-old man. Right?
I'm 43. What do you mean 47? I'm 43. We're not going to...
I'm just saying, I could go out there and bully people, but it's not in my heart to just bully people. I don't like seeing people get bullied, whether they're white, Asian, whatever color. I don't like bullies, you know, so I don't do it. But I could go around and get what I want out of people and just beat the shit out of them and take what I want, but I don't do that because it's not in our nature. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not in our nature. And what I'm saying is black folk worldwide, especially in America, have tried to do their own thing, but white folks have always torn it down, or the government have put something in place to block us. You know? Bottom line.
Speak again, you're doing exactly what it is that I just said. You're speaking in victimhood. What, Poverty? You're speaking in victimhood language.
What made whites take black folk from Africa? Why? Why did they do it? Why did they take us from Africa and take us into the Caribbean and come take us
to America? Because they could. Thanks
to... But they didn't even said that?
Because their own people sold them into slavery to the white man.
Thank
wait,
you.
Wait. That's not totally true.
That is totally true.
That's not
tribes
totally
rounded
true.
Up, tribes
okay,
rounded up
okay.
the loser tribes and sold them off to the Dutch.
Okay. Let me ask you this question then. Why did white people have to get involved?
Well, it's not like slavery didn't exist before whitey showed up.
Why did white people have to get involved in selling black folks?
Well, they were buying black folks from other black folks who were already selling black people.
No,
and still sell black people to this day.
You was not. What the hell are you saying? Tribes gave us up for guns. But
Mike brought up a very, very valid point.
How did you let white Mike just jump on what I even finished?
Of course. As you tell your audience, I'm a white man trapped in a black man's body. Let me make my point.
When
Bobby,
people want to kick you off,
Hold on, Pop. Let me ask my question.
What?
Mike is bringing up a question that I want answered.
Yeah, but let me finish, though, right? It has not been addressed. When the Romans enslaved people, they admitted the reason why they did it was because they could. The white man has not admitted to that he did it because he could. He did it because he said that we were living in the sun. He comes with lots of lies. He don't admit that. If he admitted that, slavery would have been abolished, would have been eradicated a long time ago. If that was addressed, that the white man...
Slavery is still not... It's not eliminated now. What the hell are you talking about?
Addressed? It has not been
There's
addressed.
There's still slavery in Africa. You can buy an African for $50.
Go ahead and buying these Africans for $50 to go ahead and pick coca plants. Go ahead.
There's no coca in Africa, dude. They make them go harvest diamonds and stuff. There's no coca in Africa.
You don't know nothing about Africa, man. The majority
I know
of
more about Africa than you do, bro.
What do you think the whole blood diamond thing was about?
They captured other Africans and made them work as slaves in the diamond mines in Sierra Leone.
That's a fact.
That's slavery,
gentlemen.
And it happens
today. That's a fact,
today.
Gentlemen.
And who owns the diamond mines?
Name that person. What's this guy?
It's not the De Beers people that are putting them in slavery. It's other Africans.
If the people who work
in the diamond mines in South Africa, not Sierra Leone, get a salary from the De Beers company.
They're not slaves. They're employees.
De Beers,
they're not. You just said it was slaves.
They're blacks. Are you crazy, bro? Are you crazy?
What are you talking about? They have jobs. They have jobs like you're supposed to do. It's a shitty job, but it's a job. And they're happy to have them because they don't have anything else.
And why is that? Because
they ran the white man out of their country like morons.
White man came there. Go ahead, bring. They were saviors when they brought the...
Let me ask you a question about Africa there, Mr. Afrocentrist. Which countries were in better shape under the white man's rule? Zimbabwe and South Africa? I think so. Their life expectancy was longer. Their education was better, and they weren't killing each other.
They were killing boys. When the white man came and brought them, they could go in and just the weapons of mass.
The white man civilized those people, and once he left, they evolved. Do you know that they eat each other in South Africa now? Do you know that they practice muti and eat people?
This is the lie I'm talking about. What you just said there.
Hold on. I'm not lying to you. They eat people in South Africa for black magic now, and they didn't.
Hold on. See, this is where I got a problem with you, Poverty Supreme. This is where I have a big problem with you. Okay? See, I know Mike, and you may not agree with him. You may not agree with him. And you may call me all types of Sambo, Uncle Tom, nigga crap. But there's one thing that I know about the history of Africa, folks, is that the truth lies in what Mike is saying. You don't like this because it offends your belief of victimhood. That's a fact. They used the blacks, the De Beers. Diamond Company uses blacks to impoverish and enslave its own people. Now, if these people are so strong and so civilized, which is where we claim civilization comes from, Africa, why would they enslave and impoverish their own people? Oh, is the influence of being white? Is it the influence of trying to get the adoration of the white man? Or is it about money? Or is it about taking care of themselves? See, this dispels that bullshit. That's why most people get angry. This is why Poverty Supreme is so upset right now. Because it dispels the rumor, and that's all it is, folks. It is a rumor that blacks are being exploited. No, there's no exploitation here. It is about money.
Okay, can I jump in real quick?
Go for it, JC, and then I'm going to bring the guys back.
I think the part that is being overlooked, grossly overlooked, is the fact that many believe that slaves were brought over here because the white man was too damn lazy to do his own work.
Right. Okay.
And that won't get admitted to this day.
Let me ask you this.
Regardless of who sold them to him. Regardless of who sold them to him.
Black man sold them, right? The black man sold the slave to the white man, right?
Because he didn't want to do his own work.
But the black man in Africa sold these slaves to the white man. Yes or
right.
no?
For the most part, yeah.
It can't be disputed. Right?
Right. Well, you know what? It more so, I mean, they were coming and taking to begin with. They were coming and taking to begin with.
Listen.
They were coming and taking to begin with.
Well, they weren't.
Until they befriended tribes.
They
were looking to get rid of their enemies.
Of Africans. These people. They were the wards of these kings or monarchs or rulers. They were wards of those people, and they were given up for goods given by the Dutch. That's a fact.
And also, Reese, also, and it's also a fact that when Europeans were over there taking slaves on their own, they befriended some of the tribes who had wars, because at times when they had wars, the tribes themselves would enslave their enemies.
Right, their enemies.
They would enslave their enemies. But to eliminate them altogether, they then sold them to the white man, who again, regardless, I mean, and that's a point that's never ever looked at, it took them and brought them and used them in this country because they were too lazy to do their own work.
Well, I'm not going to dispute that. Let's bring the guys back.
Hey, Reese, let me say something.
No, you cannot say that white people were too lazy to do their work because white people built this goddamn country. The reason we brought slaves in is because we didn't have enough labor to manage the fields. There weren't enough people here. Understand? It's not laziness. It was a labor shortage. There weren't enough of us to do the work.
So you kidnap people to do the work.
Well, when there's
a labor shortage, you hire more people, you don't beat them into doing your work for free.
How can you call that a labor shortage?
As somebody whose ancestors owned slaves, you guys have this mistreating your slaves bullshit all wrong.
Really?
You would not mistreat your slave any more than you would mistreat your tractor.
I got a book for you. It's called Bullwhipping.
Slaves were a piece of field equipment. Nobody with any sense would destroy their field equipment.
Hold on. See, Mike has done something that every African American must hear. Mike has done something that is unprecedented on radio in any forum. Mike knows his history, and he will challenge all history that is being misrepresented. And here's a white man, folks. You can like it or not. I don't care whether or not you like it or not. He is now saying to each and every one of you that he comes from an ancestry that has owned slaves. So I'm going to give him the opportunity here to express what his history tells you, and then I'll let everybody else be outraged and scream and holler, and I'll let you scream and holler after the fact. But I want you to hear this because I want to hear this. I'm interested in this because this is compelling to me, and it should be compelling to you. So, Mike, start from the beginning. Your ancestry owned slaves.
My ancestors owned slaves. And the myth that's been perpetuated is that slave masters routinely abused and beat their slaves for no reason, tortured them and all this stuff. And it comes from Hollywood. It comes from Roots and Mandingo and all this nonsense. But it doesn't make sense. If you look at it logically, it makes no sense. Slaves were equipment, for lack of a better term. They were valuable. Slaves were expensive. They were a lot of money even back then. You needed to keep your slave healthy and happy, and you didn't beat him any more than you would wreck your tractor or purposely dull your plow. So this did some slaves get disciplined? Yeah. If your equipment was going to run off, you couldn't let your investment leave. Was it right? No. But this nonsense that, oh, the slave masters are doing all this evil shit all the time, you wouldn't damage your equipment. It's stupid to believe so.
Okay, let's let the guys in here and respond.
That was a bold crack of
Reese.
Whoa, one at a time.
I'm gonna let Rob talk, but I wanna just give me a chance to have a clear chat. Go on, Rob, and then let me
Rob,
say something.
You go first based upon what you heard from White Mike.
I mean, I don't know where you got that from, man. I don't know where you made it up from. But my thing is all like this. It's too many slave accounts that have also been passed down from generation to generation. This has been handed down. There's a lot of writings and teachings about this. Okay, and a book I was trying to throw at you was called Bullwhip Days. It was a direct account of slaves. Even they could go ahead and let anybody know what had happened, what they went through. So I want you to go ahead and really right now to explain. You know, it was a whole lot of. Let me get with the rape part, not just the other really brutal stuff of the rape part. The rape part. There was a lot of sisters were raped. Okay, and you can't go and tell me that these women just gave it up just freely.
I don't think he suggested that, Rob.
Okay, so then I want him to also go ahead and explain this. I want him to explain this term called gator bait. So you do your research. You need to throw that. Go ahead and figure out what that term gator bait is.
I know what gator bait means, and there's
so
no documented proof it ever happened.
Oh, no,
that
doctor,
is a
myth.
It's a myth, just
a myth.
Like the nuclear black family and black people with good credit. It's a myth.
So it's
can I say something?
Wait, hold on. So it's a myth. Wait. So you said your family owned slaves, so why did they have to own slaves? If they was
because we needed some people to work in the fields, and there weren't enough of us.
Oh, you didn't say. See, a slave is different from a paid employee. See, they weren't paid employees, so they were forced to go and do that.
He never disputed, Rob. He never disputed.
Let me make my point, Reese.
He never disputed that, though.
No. But you know what? To call it a shortage of labor makes you kind of think that. Yeah,
paid.
It had a lot to do that they were at some point being paid for it, and secondly,
no, dude, they were
they
paid.
Didn't necessarily
they had houses
always
and
take
food,
care
and they lived,
to fill the
and
equipment.
They
I mean, you don't go out there and
Africa.
Screw your John Deere.
So,
it's
your John
that's
Deere,
a fringe benefit, dude.
Why didn't
you
put? You
know,
that's
like
so
that's
just
some kingly shit right there. That's a fringe benefit, but it was because there was a labor shortage.
And
there weren't enough people to work the fields. And we had to get labor to produce it. And
why
like it or not, if we hadn't done it, no black people would be here.
Rob,
Well, wait. Hold on, guys.
Rob asked about his reparations, or reparations.
Right into man's speech, though.
I will tell you what black people's reparations for slavery are. Do you want to hear it? Poverty Supreme? You get to live in fucking England, one of the greatest countries on earth. That's your reparations. So quit your bitching and be happy, because you could be in Zimbabwe.
Wait. Okay, everybody, hold on for a second. I have to put that. Hold on, because I know Poverty Supreme is offended at that, Mike. So hold on, he's going to be offended. See, this is why I tell you, I invite each and every one of you, come on this show. You don't like it, you don't like where it is that we go, you call me a sellout, I don't care, whatever. Come on the show and deal with this. This is the reason why. Look, I'm sorry, folks. Mike, as far as I'm concerned, of Real Town, this man is the governor. He's the governor of Real Town. But let me say this, based upon what it is that was just brought up. There were not many whites who lived in the country, and the major GDP, gross domestic product, of our nation, America, at the time, was agriculture. And in order to make money, you had to work the fields. Many people worked them as a family and could not produce in order to pay for and live on those lands. Slavery became a product of, you know, getting that labor and producing the gross domestic product, agriculture, in order for those families to survive. And Mike has said clearly, was it wrong? Of course it was. But when you know that there's a country where people are saying, we will pretty much help you with your agricultural needs by getting you the labor that you need and sell you those people with the exchange of gold or jewels or beads or finance, whatever it may be, that you will be able to take those people back and to solve your agricultural needs. These are not subjects that people talk about when it deals with slavery. And why? Here's why. And it's very, very simple. Because the schematics, the details of slavery, we cannot discuss them. We won't discuss them. We won't. We like the narrative of one simple thing. Slavery, bad. Impoverished labor, bad. We like to simplify it, but we won't get into the dynamics and the minutiae of how it took place. We don't want any conversation about that. We write it off. This is what Rob is doing and what Poverty Supreme is doing right now. They're writing it off because they don't want to deal with that, because that's harder to deal with. They don't want to blame their African ancestors for proliferating slavery. They don't want to talk about that. That's a blight on the whole idea. It's beneficial to the plight of victimhood to say that they were stolen from Africa, that whites brought their ships to the shore and just wrangled up a bunch of niggas, put them on the boat, and sent them back to America. That's a simplistic view. The politics, the minutiae, the nuance of it all, that is what they're afraid to talk about. Because if those facts are out there, then they have to question what? The history. The truth. Like it or not. I know that's sad, but folks, it's true. And I know that right now, Poverty Supreme and Robin Chicago, they're angry at me for saying it. As a black man, this dude ain't black. But I want to know the whole story. Just like you do when you watch the news and you want to know why Adam Lanza shot those 20 kids. What was he thinking? Why did he do it? What does the news say? What did the reporters say? What did the investigators say? We want to know a breakdown of every other stupid story in the world. But when we deal with something like this, we turn a blind eye. I only ask Rob and Poverty Supreme to do one thing. As a favor. You can hate what it is that you're hearing from White Mike tonight. You can hate it. It can make you mad. But I ask you as a favor to yourselves, look it up. And see whether or not there may be some truth to it. If there's no truth, then you can come back and you can shout me down. Say, Reese, White Mike doesn't know what he's talking about. Here's the facts. Here they are. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Trust me, shortly. This has turned into a great conversation, folks. And we'll continue when we return right here on Reese on the Radio.
This Save Us Chuck Minute is brought to you by Common Sense Everywhere, except in Washington. My fellow Americans, slightly more than half of the nation has irrationally, at least I believe, re-elected Barack Obama, essentially admitting that they've fallen for the charade. And it's clear that Obama won not by bringing the country together, but by dividing us even further. It's a tactic he's used all year long, and forgive me, I thought we were really smarter than that. He didn't win over voters concerned about the economy or the nation as a whole, but selfish niches seeking special rights and freebies for one group or another. They're the me generation, who are just as likely to tweet what they had for lunch as to invalidate their ballots by illegally posting pictures of them on Facebook. So while Obama distracted voters from major failures like unemployment with flashy causes, younger generations exhibiting their short attention spans, and cast their vote even though they're going to be the ones who suffer most, I don't get it. Do you? I'm Chuck Woolery. To have a question answered on air, visit Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
Never wanna put my heart on the line.
Priest on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. That's Bruno Mars with Locked Out of Heaven. It is turning out to be one of my favorite songs this year off his new album. Anyway, so we are having a very, very candid discussion about victimhood in this country when it applies to race. And, you know, I'm going to let the guys, because Mike has been, White Mike, who's been on the show often, and probably more than anybody, who makes a strong argument most times. And I know people can't deal with it, and as I said in the ending,
before we went
to the break, poverty, let me finish. I put your mic on. Give me a minute. Has brought up a very important message for people to talk about. And I gave the guys an opportunity to look up any information they want to oppose White Mike's position here.
All right. Let me tell you something, though, Reese. Yeah? If you're going to do this properly, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to let you speak first. But let us have our peace and mute White Mike. I won't cut him if he don't cut us, you know? I won't cut him. He keeps on cutting us when we're trying to finish a statement.
Well, okay, then Mike, give them an opportunity to speak. Let them speak, and you know, as long as they don't filibuster.
I ain't going to filibuster no one.
I understand that. What
history stands for itself, brother. Their history is written in blood. I don't need to tell no lies. I don't need to fabricate nothing. You know,
Here we go. Wine.
If Mike brought up something that you oppose, can you counter it?
Yeah, I can't. I will.
But if you keep on muting us and letting White Mike...
I only mute you for as far as this show is concerned, because we have a format here. And it's not most radio shows where people just spew off. That's why I give everybody an opportunity to speak. And you can't deny that I've not done that.
You mute us, then Mike talks over us.
My show, I let you go. I never muted you once, even when people...
This is true, but I stopped talking when other people spoke. Didn't I do that? I stopped speaking.
I got respect as well, but White Mike keeps on cutting us.
Okay, well. So, Poverty, forget about all the complaints. Do you have anything to dispute what Mike said in the last break?
I do.
Rob wants to speak first, and I want to go after that.
Rob, mute, then we'll Mike, let Rob, we'll let Rob, Rob in Chicago go first. Go ahead, Rob.
The thing that White Mike, you know, he said his family owned slaves. You know, gave him housing, you know, place to stay, and all this other stuff. But you know, a couple of things he's missing. These Africans were also farmers back in the homeland, so they could have lived off the land. But what kept them there? What makes a slave if you didn't use any brutality on them? I don't understand why you can go ahead and try to say that, hey, they're free and they were happy doing what they were doing. No, so something had to keep them there, and they were kept there by force.
Rob, stop for a second. I'm going to let you continue. In no way, if you listened to what Mike said, did he ever imply that they were free to do what they wanted to do in this country. He acknowledged slavery and it being wrong. So don't misinterpret what he said.
Be specific. Slaying is wrong, and then go ahead and get into some of the stuff that's wrong I could deal with. Okay, don't say it's wrong. Okay, capturing another individual and holding them is wrong. But making them stay there through force is another issue. Okay? That's something else needs to be dealt with.
But Rob, I think he acknowledged that.
I don't think he did, and you need to come back and go back and listen.
He said it was wrong.
Okay, say it was wrong to go ahead and rape the women. Say it was wrong that it was go ahead and sodomize the men. Say it was wrong to go ahead and take a woman's newborn baby and sell it to another individual, away across another state in almost. Now, go ahead and be specific. Say it was wrong to go ahead and put people on ships. People are housed on these boats, okay? Go ahead and discuss what was going on while they was being housed on the boats. They were held in pens for a few months before they got onto the boats. Now, go ahead and say that was wrong.
Mike?
I'm going to say that it's ancient history and it was wrong, but I don't
ancient
give a
Ancient history?
Shit.
You don't
it's
give
a ancient. It's 500 so years ago.
Okay.
Get
so,
over
okay,
it. Suck it
okay,
up.
Okay,
Rob,
okay.
Rob, do you live in America?
That don't make
it. No, let me. Do you have cable TV and air conditioning?
They have that in Africa.
Do you, No. Do you have cable TV and air conditioning?
They have
you
that.
Live in a country with one of the highest standards of living in the world.
For whom?
Do you?
For whom? I have all of that.
No, statistics. A poor American is fucking richer than a poor African. Do you get it?
It depends on where you at. You get that?
The standard of living across the whole continent of Africa is lower than Mississippi.
And
you understand
there, and
what I'm telling you?
And there are some countries in Africa that weren't affected by the so-called economic crisis. Do you know
every
that?
Every part of Africa is, every nation that's
wasn't.
Listed as the
it
worst
wasn't.
Nation in the world is in Africa. Do you understand?
And who has something to do with that? If it wasn't for white influence,
the incompetence
white man,
of black leadership, sir. Africa was
really?
Nothing before the white man showed up. It's nothing now.
How can you go ahead and say that when the oldest civilizations come
the
out of
only,
Africa?
There
no
are
sense.
Only two continents on the face of the planet who do not
right.
have a functioning domestic automobile industry. Guess where they are?
And oh, they
Africa
had one. They
Africa.
Had one. They had one. They had one.
The
in
white man built it. You
white
get it?
Man, what the white man can't.
No, the sub-Saharan
so
Africa has never
that.
Contributed anything
killed
to the world. You
that.
Get it?
Oh my word! Can I say something about that?
Go ahead, go ahead.
There was no agriculture in sub-Saharan Africa.
Reese,
it was subsistence hunter-gatherers.
Hold on,
Mike.
The
Reese,
only time civilization came to Africa was when the white man brought it to them.
Mike, hold on. I'm not muting anybody. Hold on, Mike. Give Poverty and an opportunity to respond to what it is that you just said. Because this is
well, can he actually speak and not mumble? Because I really don't understand what the guy says.
Okay, all right. Mike, you don't have to go there. Come on.
It sounds like he's got a mouth full of dicks in his mouth.
More disrespect.
Now he's muted. Now he's muted.
I don't need to get down dirty like this guy.
Mike, that was unnecessary.
He said something on the line, and I thought to myself, for real.
Answer
the history of the European is written in blood. So at the end of the day, I don't need to get mad with you. At the end of the day, white man, you couldn't even.
Oh, yeah, because Africa was, their history is paved in honey and gold.
Let me go in then. And mute this guy's line, because I don't trust him to let me speak without.
He will. Mike, let him speak and let him get every word he has to get out, and then I'll let you respond. Come on, be fair here, all right? Go ahead, Poverty.
Now, when he's saying that black folk ain't done nothing in America, black folk made the automatic gear shift, Richard Spikes. Black folk made the airship. That was John F. Pickering. Black folk made the floppy disk and the hard drive for the computer, John Moon. Black folk made the PC, that was Dr. Mark D. Black folk made the thermostats, the thing that the doctors wear and they pull out the stethoscope, that was Jerome Moore. Black folk made peanuts and other cleaning products, that was George Washington.
Whoa. I got to stop you on George Washington Carver. I got to stop you on Carver right now, because Carver is a lie.
Okay, so what about
Carver
all the other ones? Okay, forget Carver. What about the other one?
Made the airplane. That was Dr. William Hill.
Wait, the airplane? The airplane.
That was
the
Dr.
airplane.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, because the white man hid the history of this great African aeronautical engineer and just gave it to the Wright brothers. How much weed have you smoked? Are you high?
The Wright brothers, they only did the first flight. They didn't invent the plane.
They invented the goddamn airplane.
They did not.
And if you want to go back further, Leonardo da Vinci had plans for it in the 1400s.
Williams, brother. To Paul E. Williams. Right? Okay. Now, let me go into the history now. Now, when I'm saying, Reese said something very valuable, because he said that white folk slaved us as they could. I do agree with that. Now, if they told us this, right, then I don't think there would be racism. Because when Rome had control, I'm guided to history because I'm a historian. Now, when Rome had control over the world, they made it known that they were mighty and they conquered people based on their strength. That's why there wasn't really racism inside their society that they controlled all across Europe. Now, if the Europeans stopped feeding us the lie that they came in there because we sold each other out or we we needed to be civilized because they tell us that we were hiding under the trees and stuff like that. Then I don't doubt there would be racism. You understand? Racism will be eliminated because I'm sure there's enough white folk that would understand and say, you know what, that's wrong. Because if I wanted to, I could go out there and bully white people as well. I could take out my revenge on a good amount of white folk if I really wanted to, but I don't. Because black folk ain't wicked like that. You understand?
Yeah, because you have it so bad in Britain.
Of course.
Poor poverty supreme. Living in the cradle of civilization, of modern Western civilization, one of the nicest and safest places in the world. You poor thing. Why don't you go live in Jamaica and have those wild boys cut your head?
Reese, mute him.
I'm not going to mute him. I'm not going to.
No, because you're basically...
It's a fair discussion.
Reese, you protected him. Why are you protecting him?
You guys are whiny victims who don't accept the great deal you have.
You know what? This ain't such a great deal, but you don't know a whole lot about me to go ahead and say that.
Then leave Chicago and take your ass to your people in Congo and help them rise up and quit ditching.
How do you know I'm not doing that?
Racism there, Reese. Do you see the intellect?
Wait, Pop. Hold on. Mike, hold on. How do you know I'm not doing that already?
Because you're calling from Chicago and you're not in Congo.
So how do you know I haven't been there?
So what?
You're not there now. You're not there.
Oh.
I don't care if you're a poverty tourist. You're not there now.
Oh,
you're whining
okay.
your crap.
The U.S. has offices in America, and they also have extensions in Africa. They're called embassies. Okay, so they're sending people back
and there and build a village.
How do you know I'm not doing that? You don't know nothing about the education that
you've been given and move there permanently.
I've been given.
You have been given an education. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, you are welcome for me bringing your people here.
Reese, come speak.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness.
You're welcome. If not for slavery, you guys would all be living in Africa.
Wait, everybody stop.
By lions and
everybody.
Cheetahs.
You know what? And that would be a good thing. Do you know that? That would be
because the life expectancy in Africa is like 38, dude.
How do you Have you been there?
That's
you
a statistic for the continent of Africa has the lowest life expectancy in
you
the
haven't
world.
Been there. You don't know what's going on there. I've been there.
Can I speak? Reese, can I speak?
Go for it.
Mike says that we haven't done nothing for civilization. As a matter of fact, Africa was the cradle of education. Timbuktu is the biggest library on earth. And
that was Alexandria, sir. Get your shit straight.
What are you talking about?
The library at Alexandria was the cradle of all knowledge in Egypt. And Egyptians are not black. Egyptians are not black. Have you ever seen ancient Egyptians? They're like
Arabs, dude. They're not African.
No, they were interbred with black slaves and brought in to build stuff. Ancient Egyptians were not black. I went to the King Tut exhibit. That dude's not black. That
you
dude had a nose like an Italian person. He was not black.
You didn't go to Luxor or Cairo. I've been to Egypt, man, so I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know.
That's modern Egyptians. They
were
interbred with black slaves over thousands of years. The people who built all that stuff and created Egypt were not Africans. They were Arabs.
Right.
That's what destroyed Egypt.
Wait. Let me tell you. Hold it. Calm down. Take it easy. Let me just throw this out there. Okay, the Arabs, since Mike knows his history so well, the Arabs didn't come on the scene until about
496.
Okay.
What are you people talking about?
Look, let me say this, bottom line. I love the fact, see, folks, I did one thing tonight, and I hate to rag on you, poverty. I did the one thing tonight that you didn't do today. Guy like white Mike can come on my show. He can come my show, and he can take the opposition. And not once did I ever make anybody feel, not once will I ever make anybody feel as if their opinions aren't welcome. And I will let him deal. The guy is being tag-teamed here, folks, by himself. That's what it is that we do on Reese on the Radio. You're scared to join this show, and that's cool. That's always cool. But Mike makes some very, very valid arguments that I've not heard from Rob in Chicago or Poverty Supreme, backed up by facts that Mike has clearly contributed to the show. That's the reason why he's here. That's the reason why he's a part of this show. Mike was the first person that I met on Twitter in my entire existence on Twitter who came at me and said, "Hey, Reese, this is this, this is that, look at this, look at that, look at this story, look at this statistic." The guy has been a research genius, and he breaks down everything that he has that comes out of his mouth. And he does it with fact. Now, if you want to challenge White Mike, go for it. But let's listen to some conceit, if you will, folks. I want to give you an opportunity here to listen to some conceit. I want to see whether or not that's going to happen today. Poverty Supreme. JC, my computer is slowing down. Put Poverty Supreme and Rob in Chicago on the line for me, if you can, if you can hear me. Put them on the line. I want to hear whether or not they are willing to concede that White Mike has come on the air and has said, bottom line, to them that he comes with facts that they're not prepared to deal with.
What facts?
Man, you funny, man. You funny.
Reese, what facts?
Oh, that's funny, man.
Reese, what facts?
He didn't come with any facts?
Just to dispute what Poverty said about the inventor of aviation, there is a dispute whether it was the Wright brothers. Guess who else they think it might have been? A Brazilian man named Alberto Santos Dumont.
He's black.
Not a black man.
He is black.
I'm looking at Alberto Santos Dumont right now. He's Portuguese and French.
It was David William Hill. Bottom line. So we can exclude the
seriously. You need to put down the Louis Farrakhan book that says that brothers are flying planes around pyramids in Africa.
He's
in
the list.
I've given you facts and research, and you still babble with your Afrocentric
nonsense.
No, I just Googled it, dude. Who invented the airplane? It comes up on Google. You have a computer, right? I know you got that blue hippo computer, whatever black people have.
Fuck that one. Forget that one. The other inventors he gave you, that list.
Wait. There's only two that are disputed. It's the Wright brothers and Santos Dumont.
Okay. That's the end of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of our show. We'll continue this tomorrow, I promise you. I hate the fact that it's only 2 hours. Are you kidding me? We're going to go on forever. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back tomorrow. Same black time, same black channel. Right here on Reese on the Radio. I love you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, White Mike, and Poverty Supreme, and Rob in Chicago for being a part of the show. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Holler at your boy. Oh, man, what a great show. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Reese on the Radio.